If only for this life we have hope in Christ. We are of all people most to be pitied, but Christ has indeed been risen from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since death has come through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam we all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But in each turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after all has been destroyed, all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Luke 24:1-12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told us all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
You might have seen us battling to try and get this, flip chart ready for the sermon, because, I need it, because there's a few visual aids that are going to be coming later on. But just thinking about Easter, a lot of the things in the story seem quite unbelievable, don't they? Certainly surprising. And in that reading that we've just had read, do you know what? There are at least six surprises. Unbelievable surprises, some of them, and believable surprises, others. The first thing that surprises many people is that the very first disciples to be witnesses of Jesus' resurrections were women. Now, you might think, well, that's not a surprise. I mean, why not? Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. I think they're very good witnesses. But in those days, women were not considered reliable enough to give evidence in a trial. So those women, even though they were the first witnesses, may not have been believed. And I think that might be one of the reasons why when the women went back to the disciples, they did not believe the women, because it says their words seemed to them like nonsense. So what did they do? Well, Peter and John, from another gospel, ran to the tomb to verify what the women had to say. And this is important, verification. Because after all, we would not be here celebrating Jesus' resurrection nearly 2,000 years later if there was no evidence on which to base this amazing resurrection of Jesus. So I wonder if you can help me, and I know that there's a few people in the audience and in the congregation who can help me, to find five surprising pieces of evidence, which we'll find in this passage. The first one, surprise one, who's got it? Under your chair. Thank you, Emre. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Surprise one is, well, you might even be able to see it up in the reading. Come on, let's see what it is. Hold it out high. Surprise one is the stone. It was rolled away. Can you just put it by the tomb there? In fact, let's put it here, because then we can see it better. Thank you very much, Emre. The stone. I've got a question to ask you. Thank you very much. Let's put it over here and then that can stay there. Do you agree that stones are heavy? The stone in front of the burial cave shouldn't have moved by itself. But was it there? I can't hear you. Was it there?
No.
No, it had rolled away. There were Roman soldiers guarding the tomb overnight as well, but Luke tells us that they found this stole rolled away from the tomb. Very surprising. Surprise two. Who's got surprise two? Who's got surprise two? Oh, thank you very much. Surprise two is... Now, Gillian hasn't got anything to carry up.
No.
That's because surprise two...
Nothing there.
The body... Ah, I don't think it's in there, is it?
No.
Thank you very much, Gillian. Dead bodies are known to stay where they've been put. Well, was the body still there?
No.
No. Luke 24, verse 3 tells us that when they entered, the women, they did not find the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look very carefully, somewhere in the church, there is a body, but that body is not left in the tomb. I'm not going to tell you where it is. You can work it out. Surprise three. Who's got surprise three hidden underneath their chair? Let's have a look. Oh, thank you, Lydia. What is surprise three? What could it be? Lift it high. Any guesses?
Angels.
Thank you very much, Lydia. They're angels. And there wasn't just one, and it wasn't a Christmas tree angel either, although this one is. Oh, yeah, it's tricky to find a place to hang the thing. Should we just put the angel there? In fact, I've got two angels, but I can't... Oh, yes, my other one's here. Not quite as impressive. I think that those two angels were very impressive on that day. And I think that because, well, angels are not normally seen hanging around places, are they? Has anybody here seen an angel? Pardon? I haven't. I certainly haven't seen an angel, and I certainly haven't heard one talking. Well, were there angels around at the tomb?
Yes.
Yes, I can't hear you, sorry.
Yes.
Yes, there were angels at the tomb. While they were wondering about this, the women were wondering, where's Jesus' body? Why is the stone moved? Suddenly, it says, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. They weren't quite sure of who these bright, shining people were. Later on, they said they were angels. What's surprise four then? So each of these are evidence that Jesus was not in that tomb. What's surprise four? Anybody? Oh, thank you very much. Oh, do you know what? I've been trying to remember your name and I can't, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't quite remember it. Remind me.
Reggie.
Thank you so much, Reggie. What was number four then?
The message.
Absolutely. So I've got a message here. Thank you very much, Reggie. I've got a message here. It doesn't actually tell us about Jesus' resurrection. Oh, dear. The blue tack's gone. Okay, no, it hasn't. Just can't find it. This message tells us that at the back of the church, there's some Easter pilgrim booklets. If you want and you've enjoyed the Lent pilgrim, well, you can have an Easter pilgrim booklet as well. And that is something that tells us the true message of what Easter was about. So, the message. What was it that the angels said? Was this message important, everybody?
Yes,
it was. The message contains some vital information about what happened to Jesus. The angels said, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Remember how he told you, said the angels, while he was still in Galilee with you, the Son of Man must be delivered He must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And that is the good news, the message of Easter. Very surprising. Surprising that the stone had been rolled away. Surprising there was no body. Surprising that there were two angels. Surprising about the message that the angels gave. Well, for the two women, that was enough. They ran back to Peter, and they said to Peter and the other disciples, "He's not there! He is risen!" Well, they didn't believe them. They thought what the women said sounded like nonsense. So they decided, let's go and check for ourselves. And Peter, with John behind him, we know that from another gospel, John and Peter ran together. Well, what did they find? They found surprise five. Raquel's got surprise five. Thank you, Raquel. Surprise five was inside the tomb, instead of a body, were just the grave clothes that were lying over the body when he was buried. The burial clothes, or cloths, they sometimes called. Very surprising. Each surprise added to the evidence of Jesus' resurrection. And yet, that was 2,000 years ago. So what are we doing here, along with 2.18 billion other Christians, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ? How do we know that Jesus is actually alive? Well, for me, this final piece of evidence is perhaps the greatest surprise of all. We know that then the story unfolded. We know that over 500 people, including all the disciples, were witnesses to the resurrected Christ. But now, and we're going to see it in the baptisms that we have today, there is evidence that Jesus is alive in the lives and hearts and words and actions of every Christian follower. Christ follower. That's what Christian means. How can this be? Well, you see, when we invite Jesus to come into our lives, of course he doesn't come in bodily form. That would be weird. No, he comes in and he dwells in our lives and hearts by his Spirit. And his Spirit brings transformation. His Spirit brings liberation, restoration, salvation, wholeness, healing sometimes, and hope. Hope not just in this life, but as Justin Welby said this morning, and Ian's already mentioned, hope in the life to come. Death doesn't have the final word. Life has the final word. And so Bishop Roger, on Monday, Thursday, when we were in the cathedral with about 800 clergy and lay people from other churches in Essex and in North London, East London, he said, "Do you know what? We are not members of the Jesus Christ Memorial Society. No, we live with the life of Christ in us, his love and his blessing, his transforming presence coursing through our veins." And so I want to finish with the words of Teresa of Avila. Now, this is especially for the people who are going to be baptized today and for their godparents and parents, because these words talk about what happens when the transforming presence of Christ is at work in our lives. Teresa of Avila says this: "Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet, on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are the body of Christ. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. And a prayer. May God continue his transforming work in each one of us this Easter, and especially in those today who are being brought for baptism and who are choosing to be baptized. Your blessing and your transforming work, that we may receive salvation and hope and blessing, and that we may be the people who bring the hope and blessing of the resurrected Christ to each person we meet today and every day. Amen.